Jezebel don't even stand a chance. Jezebel don't even stand a chance. Chick-fil-A!
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
And when you have Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, and you're looking at chapter 26, verse number 36, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples and find them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. May God of the blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 Want to tag or give a thought or title to this message and scriptures here. How to handle pressure. Amen. How Amen. To handle pressure. Amen. Amen. Pressure is something that a lot of us, when we talk about it, we don't like the experience of pressure. But when we talk about pressure, pressure is actually the exertion of force upon the surface. And a lot of things that happens upon the surface or in the surface or on our flesh or in our flesh, those things that are on the surface actually affects us deep down on the inside. Pressure is something that can change the atmosphere, it can change the person, it can change the element, whatever it is that it is applied to, it can change it, it can make it move. Pressure is what causes momentum to happen in some things. When we talk about pressure, if you have barometric pressure change in the atmosphere, I found that sometimes it gives me a headache because of my sinus pressure. Sometimes we have to have pressure in order to live because we have to have a decent or a right blood pressure in order for us to live. But if there's too much pressure, then you could die. Amen. So pressure's good, but also pressure could become something horribly bad. Amen. When we talk about pressure, my mind runs to the combustion chamber of an engine, which decides the power of the engine, that determines how much pressure is in that combustion chamber, that decides how powerful that engine is. So sometimes when we are enduring pressure, it may determine whether or not we become as powerful as we need to be in this walk of life. Oh, Lord, help me today. So when we talk about pressure, a lot of times we look at pressure as a bad thing, but a lot of times pressure is not always bad, but pressure, sometimes it works for our good, especially when you love the Lord. According to Romans 8, he said, all things work to what? Gather for the good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Amen. So sometimes we need not to pray, God, deliver us from the pressure, but we need to say, God, help us through the pressure. Amen. And so when we talk about this, Matthew gives us a good example here of Jesus and a good bird's eye view of what he had to go through and the pressure that he endured. A lot of times we don't want to have to endure pressure, but if Jesus had to endure it, why not us? He said that if they did certain things into a green tree, what do you think they're going to do in the dry tree? He said that if they did it, the servant is not greater than the master. If they did it to the master, guess what? Some things are going to happen to the servants of God. Come on and say amen. And so when we talk about this, Matthew, who was one of the disciples, and his name was Levi, who had been a tax collector, and now he's following Jesus, and he writes this gospel so that the Jewish people may know that Jesus was the Messiah. He writes about a pressure condition or a pressure time in the life of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. When we look at this, he says, now, well, we find out that it is a time now for Jesus to be betrayed. It is a time now for Jesus to be handed over into the hands of not only the Sanhedrin, but into the hands of Pilate and the Romans. And so they had went through a time of feasting, and they had the feast, and he washed their feet, and he did all of the breaking of bread. And then there was a woman that came in and washed his feet. All of these good things seemed to be happening to Jesus all at one time. And they wanted to make him king all in the same week. But then he had pressure. You know, that's the same as our life. Sometimes we have good things going on in our life. We have great news come to our life. And then we have bad news in the same day. Just the other day, I got some good news. Then I got some bad news just the other day. Amen. And so we got to understand that sometimes when you're doing well, when things are going well, you know the devil don't want you to enjoy that moment. So he tries to bring about pressure that will make you change who you are and how you are and how you act in the situation. But we need to know how to handle pressure. We don't handle pressure by lashing out at people. And most of the time it's the people that we love the most that we lash out against when we are under pressure. We can't lash out against people because we are under pressure. We need to know how to handle pressure. And you know, sometimes we need to be just like a pressure cooker. You know, if you leave it in there, you don't mess with it and let it stay under pressure, it comes out tender and ready to eat. Come on and say amen. We need to be ready, amen, when God calls us as we go under pressure, as we are pressurized in our conditions. We need to know that God is putting us under a certain amount of pressure, not to destroy us, not to take us out, only that he can get what's inside of us to ooze into the outside. All he's doing is he's allowing us to be under pressure so that the good, the love that he put in us, the joy that he put in us, the peace that he put in us will finally show up on the surface where the pressure is. Amen. Amen. And so we find Jesus coming to the place called Gethsemane, the place of what we call the olive press. Amen. This place is called the olive press or the oil press. This place is where it is a place in the garden or on the Mount of Olives where they would take the olives and they would place them in a place where they would crush them or press them so that they can get oil out. I've been there, and it is a very pleasant place. It's a good place to pray. It's a good place to pray, and I can understand why Jesus chose that place to pray. I can understand because it was a place of peace. And it's something how God allows the place of pressure to be at the same time the place of peace. Lord, help me today. See, sometimes we complain about our place of pressure, but God wants you to have peace in the midst of your pressure. He wants you to be able to handle it. He wants you to be able to say, you know, whatever your will is, God, I'm here for your will. And sometimes the place of pressure can end up being a place of peace. Amen. So here it is. Now Jesus, he says that he's at the Garden of Gethsemane, the place of pressure, the place where God allows the weight of the world to be placed upon Jesus' shoulders. And he was in a place where the Bible says, let's go along in the scripture. He says, and Jesus went into the place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. So he had 11 of his disciples with him, because one of them he had already kissed and told him, gave him the sop and told him, he said, go on and do what you got to do. Do it quickly, all right? And so he went to a place and he told them that, he said, y'all stay right here. I'm going over here to pray. Do you know that sometimes everybody in your circle is not always ready to pray with you when you're under pressure? Everybody in your circle is not ready to go on a little further with you, amen? And so he told those that he knew that weren't ready, because you got to remember, right before this, they had talked about the stuff that he was about to go through. And guess what? They were all talking about, oh, we're not only ready to fight with you, but we're ready to die with you. We're going to go wherever you're going. And Jesus knew that they were not ready. He told each one of them, he said, told Peter, he said, before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Not just you, Peter, but the rest of y'all, you're going to scatter like sheep without a shepherd. And so he knew that they were not ready to be able to handle the pressure and to see him in the condition that he was going to be in. But he chose three folks that was in his inner circle. Amen. And he told them, he said, let's go and we're going to pray at the Garden of Gethsemane. See, he took all of them to the garden, but he left them. But he went on into Gethsemane, in a place where the pressure was applied. He took Peter, James, and John, and those he thought that would be, they would be ready, they would be able to handle, amen, what he was about to deal with. And so he asked them, he said, I know you guys are a little more mature, you have a zeal, so I want you to come and pray with me. You know, sometimes we want people to come pray with us. We want, if you call your friend, you say, come and pray with me. I'm under extreme pressure. I'm going through a situation. I'm about to deal with some stuff, and I need somebody to touch and agree with me. Because the scripture said that two touching anything as agreeing on earth, that the Father in heaven will perform that. And so we need somebody sometimes to come and agree with us in prayer. But when he got to that place, he realized that even though I got these folks that are going to pray with me, I think I need to go just a little further. And sometimes you got to leave the folks that you know might pray with you, because you know what? Nobody will pray for you like you will pray for yourself. Nobody will call on the name of the Lord for you like you will call on the name of the Lord for yourself. You think that those people love you? They do. But guess what? They get tired too. These guys got so tired that they started to go to sleep. You know, they had gotten to a place that they saw the anguish on Jesus, and Luke says that they saw it and they went to sleep for anguish. In other words, they just cried themselves to sleep like babies do. You know how babies do, they cry and they'll be in there sleeping. They just cried themselves to sleep like babies do. And Jesus, he says, now look, let's look at the place of Gethsemane. He says that he went, he said, sit here. And he went and he said to them, he said, then he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. He began to be, as the scripture said, he was sore amazed. And so what that means there is that he began to be struck with terror. He began to be very heavy. Anybody ever had heaviness on you? And you know, that's not a good feeling, because you can't shake that. Sometimes you just can't shake that. And most of the time, the only way to really get over or get better during the heaviness is to give God some praise or some worship. It's to get in the presence of God. Because when you're heavy, you just can't do nothing. You can't roll it off of you. You're just like a camel with a load. You just got to wait for the master to release the load and shift it. I wish I had somebody. We got to understand that Jesus was at a place. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Your soul. What was his soul? His soul is his mind, his will, and his emotions. That's the part of him that was being pressured. Amen? And sometimes when we're pressured, our emotions kick on and we start to cry, and we start to, sometimes we want to get mad and we want to act a fool. Come on and say amen. Sometimes we want to get our clown suit out and we bring the whole circus, and every beast that we got in us starts to act up. I wish I had somebody here. We want to bring Bozo and Cookie to the show so we can act a clown because of the pressure that we deal with. That's what happens. It affects our emotions. And he said the mind, and it affects our mind. We can't think straight. We don't know how we're going to get out of this situation, how we're going to make it through. But I want to tell you this morning that you're going to make it through by the grace of our Lord. Amen. Our mind, our will, and we sometimes don't even have a will to pray, a will to go to church, a will to worship God because of the pressure that we are up against. Amen. Yeah. The things that are applied to us. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. He was very sorrowful. He was heavy. He was very heavy, the scriptures say. He was in great anguish. He was in great distress. And sometimes we're in anguish and we are in distress and we just don't know how to handle that. But we need to handle it by going to the place of prayer. Amen. He went to the place of prayer and he was very sorrowful. And the scripture says that. And so what that means is that he was overwhelmed with sorrow. If you read Luke chapter number 22, verse number 44, it'll tell you that he was so under pressure that he had sweated like great drops of blood that went into the ground. I wish I had somebody. We need to understand that now that's some pressure. That was something that was applied to the surface. And so this was allowing us to see the human side of Jesus. Although we say, oh, he went through that because he was a son of God. Guess what? They that are led of the Spirit of God, you too are sons of God. Come on and say amen. And so what you go through, you need to see that Jesus went through it too. Amen. And so why? I wonder why when we look at this, we always say that, oh, well, he was a son of God. But he was allowing us to see that he was not only God, but he was man also. He's what we call Theanthropos. He is God and man. He had two natures. He had a God nature and a humanistic nature. Come on and say amen. And so he was able to feel the stuff that we felt. He was able to feel the pressure that we feel. Amen. And so when we start talking about the great drops of blood, he was pressed. He was squeezed to a point. He was squeezed to a point that it was coming out of him. You see, that's why it's important for us to put the right thing in us. Because someday you're going to be squeezed. And what comes out? I wish I had somebody. You know, I want, when I squeeze a lemon, I don't want nothing but lemonade. And I want to be like that with God. Whenever God squeezes me, whatever he expects to come out, that's what I want to come out. I wish I had somebody. Somebody's been squeezed here and your love has been tested. But you've been squeezed and now you got to love the same person that let you down. You got to love the same person that lied on you. You got to love the same person that, oh, come on and say amen here. You got to learn how to forgive. Now you've been squeezed. Because every time you look up, they're back in your face. And you said, I wish, Lord, help. You've been praying, Lord, help me to do your will and not realize it. God said, my will is to love folks that don't like you and folks that lied on you, folks that talked about you. And now he's squeezing you. And every time you wake up, you say, Lord, help me. And then you go to work and they're right there in your face. Supervisor done moved them right beside you. And you said, Lord, have mercy. What did I do to deserve this? You go to the store and here they are right there in your face in line right in front of you or right behind. How you doing? I don't know. I'm doing all right. They're down aisle 13 and you know you need that toilet paper, but you can't go down aisle 13 because there they are. He's squeezing you. He's testing. He's trying to see how you're going to act, what you're going to do, what's going to come out of you when you're squeezed. When you're squeezed, are you going to allow the Spirit of God, what he put in you, the love of God, the joy of the Lord to come out? Or are you going to let some devil steal your joy? Oh, I got joy on the inside. And since I got joy, when you squeeze me, all you get is joy. Oh, my God. When you squeeze me, I got peace. So when you squeeze me, I show you the peace of God that I have on the inside. Oh, yeah, he said that he was squeezed. He was pressed. The olive that was being pressed in this garden today, in this text, is that it was his soul that was being pressed. He was being pressed. And so when he went to pray, he began to pray. He said he fell down on his knees. He fell down on his face, the scripture says. And he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Now, I want to suggest to you that Jesus was feeling something that he'd never felt before. The reason why is because he was without sin. He had never had a sinful moment in his life. He was the lamb without blemish. But here he was now about to be acquainted with sin. Y'all help me now. You know how it is the first time you did something you know you shouldn't do. How did you feel? Did you feel pressure? You know, you first day, the first time you got out from underneath your mama's roof and you went out and done some stuff you shouldn't have done. How did you feel? You felt like everybody might have known what you did when you did it. Come on. That is the pressure of sin. Now, Jesus was now first, this first time he was going to be acquainted with sin. This is the first time that he's going to experience the pressure, what sinners feel when they do it. Come on and say amen here. And so here he was now petitioning God and praying to God because of what he was feeling. And sometimes we have to feel this pressure because that's the only way some of us are prayed. Some of us, all we want to do is, oh, we're just happy to have life and we're doing what we want to do. We don't think about God until we got some pressure. And so God allows pressure to come to get us to petition him, to get us to pray to him, because he already knows what he wants to do in your life. He already knows that he wants to bless you. And you know what? Nobody don't need a prophet to tell him God's going to bless you. You know why? Because God, he said, it pleases the Father to give you the kingdom. Lord, help me today. You don't need somebody to call you out and say God wants to bless you. You know what? I know God wants to bless me because he saved me. He sanctified me and filled me with his Holy Ghost. Now, that's blessing enough. Now, if I got that, everything, the Bible tells me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be what? Added. If I can see God. Now, I'm not saying the prophecies, I love prophecy, but I don't need somebody to have to tell me that to me to know it. Hallelujah. He began to petition because of what he was feeling. He was feeling the pressure and pain of being acquainted with sin. And he had never known sin until this moment. Amen? Yeah. And so he was showing us the human side of God. He was the anthropos. He was human and he was man. He was so, let's just look at Jesus. He was so much God that he walked on water. Yeah, amen. But he was so much man that he slept when he was in the boat. He was so much God that he wept before he called Lazarus out of the grave. And he was so much God that he called Lazarus out of the grave. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. He was so much God. He was so much God that he was able to touch a boy when he was in his casket doing the funeral and raising from the dead. But he was so much man that he said, I thirst. He was God and man at the same time. He wants us to see this example of how we ought to handle pressure. When we handle pressure, we go to the place of prayer, the place for peace, and we go to the place of pressure, and we get to petitioning God, and we start to praying to God. And look at what he said. He said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, let it happen. But he said, but nevertheless, if the only way that this cup is going to go anywhere is if I drink it, so be it. Yeah. Or better yet, amen. Yeah. Better yet, not my will, but thy will be done. And sometimes we don't want the will of God in our life because we pray trials away. We pray, and you know what? For those people who've been praying for patience, you know what you're praying for, right? You're praying for trials. The Bible says, I don't know why I had to stop here, because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been asking for patience. Well, you're going to get trials because the Bible says that tribulation works patience. Patience experience and experience hope, and we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. The good thing about that is as you go through your tribulation, as you go through your trial, you have a hope that won't disappoint you. Amen. 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 And so he said that he tells them, he goes away. After he gets up, he goes and he tells his disciples, he said, couldn't you just watch with me? He told Peter, he said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? You was just a few minutes ago, just an hour ago, Peter, you said you would die with me. And you can't even pray with me? Lord, help me today. You know how it is. You get sick. If you're sick for a couple of days, people will bring you soup. They'll call you. They'll check on you. But stay sick a week. You don't hear from nobody. Stay sick a month. They will forget about you. Oh, yeah, why it's fresh on their mind. Let me check on her. Oh, yeah, how you doing? Well, I'm going to bring you this. I'm going to send that baby over there. She's going to bring you that. Now, all of a sudden, about a week or two later, they done forgot. They done slept on you. Yeah. Oh, come on and say amen here. That's what happened to Jesus. Even Jesus had the same kind of friends you and I have. So why do you expect more out of your friends? If Jesus had those like that that he had, he didn't expect more. He said, that's all right. Sleep on. Oh, come on and say amen. He didn't get mad with them. He didn't get angry with them. He told them, he said, I need you to watch and pray. The reason why we need to watch is so that we can see what we're praying for come to pass. I know somebody thought that we got to watch and see what's going to happen. No, there's too many of us spectating and not participating. Stop watching to see what's going to happen and start watching to see what God is going to make happen. I'm waiting. I'm watching for my prayers to manifest. I'm waiting for God to do something in my life. I'm waiting for God to heal because I pray. I'm waiting for God to deliver because I pray. I'm waiting for God to set somebody free because I pray. Come on and say hallelujah. Oh, yeah, and so he prayed, and then the Bible says that he came and he found them a second time. They were still sleeping, and he went back and prayed again. He said, I can pray by myself. He went a little further, and sometimes we need to separate ourselves and pray anyway. Sometimes we need our own time with God. I don't need somebody interfering with me. What if they phone ring, and they normally pray with their phone right beside them, and somebody texts them, they stop praying, and they let me text them right quick back. All right, and let me go back to praying. You know y'all do that all the time. We pray and we got our phone right there. Turn that phone off. Leave that phone somewhere else and go ahead and pray and spend time with the Lord. We let that stuff interrupt. Who's interrupting you and God? Who is more important in your relationship with God? Your conversation with God? What is more important in this conversation we're having today than with God? Come on and say amen. What's more important to you? Is it the people that you got on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram and the people in my contacts that are so important that I got to, every moment I got to answer them in time? Let me tell you something. If you got a boyfriend and he can't let you pray an hour, and if you ain't text him back where you been, then you need to let that rascal go. That's the joker. You need to get rid of him. That's Bozo and not Boaz preaching here. We need to let him go. If he getting angry because you pray, if he don't want you to come, I don't see why you got to run down to that church all the time. If he don't want you to go to church, you might need to think twice about what kind of joker you dealing with, because he ain't the boy as you think he is. He's the bozo from the cookie and the clown show. We need to know. We need to make sure we don't have people interrupting our time with God. We don't need to let stuff interrupt our time with God. Do I have a witness here? Yes. Y'all getting weary on me? Am I saying something that'll help you today? We need to know how to handle pressure. We need to handle it by prayer. And sometimes we need to know that we'll be in this all by ourselves. Sometimes it's just me and God. But you know what? If God be for us, Lord, y'all help me to preach this morning. Who can be against us? In other words, if God is on my side, everybody else might as well be, because I'm not losing. Come on and say, man, I'm going to attain whatever it is that God has for me if God is on my side. Better yet, I need to be on God's side, because if I'm on his side, then I got victory. If I'm on his side, I'll never be defeated. If I'm on his side, I'm more than a conqueror. If I'm on his side, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, hallelujah. They said that once this man came to Abraham Lincoln. He told him, he said, in the time of the Civil War, he said, I hope that we can win. I hope that we win, and I pray that we win. And Abraham Lincoln said, yeah, me too. He said, well, if God is on our side, then we will. And Abraham Lincoln said, I hope that we're on God's side. That's the way we need to be. We need to be on God's side. And whatever God wants to do, whatever he wants to do in this season, Lord, don't do it without me. Wish I had somebody. He says, and let's go back to the scripture. He says, and he found them sleep a third time, and their eyes were so heavy. You know how your eyes get heavy. You can't hold them open like some of y'all right now. Some of y'all sleepy in here right now. Your eyes get so heavy. And he left them and went away. He didn't even say nothing to them this time. He just let them sleep. He didn't even bother them. He just let them sleep this time. He went away to pray, and he said, it's okay. And he tells them now in verse number 45, he cometh to the disciples and said to them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, the hand of him that doth betray me. And so we look at this now, after he has went into the garden, the place of pressure, and he found himself petitioning God and his father in prayer, his intimacy with God. He showed it by saying, Daddy, or by Father, oh Father. And he's now in a place where he finds that the purpose of God is more important than any pleasure. He finds that the priorities of God are more important than anything else. Come on and say amen. Because he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. At some point in our life, when we are under pressure, we need to say, Lord, if this pressure is not moving, then whatever your will is for me, I know that the outcome is going to work for my good. Come on and say amen. We need to know that when we pray to God, that we have prioritized now and say, Lord, it's not how I feel and what I think about this thing, is how you want this thing to go down. I wish I had somebody. Lord, it's not how I want this thing.